Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Washington, Olympia, in the heart of darkness, brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And once again, this is the year we do the hard work to implement freedom, because our hope is not in man but in Jesus Christ. But we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as Exodus 15:3 states, the Lord is a warrior, the Lord is his name. Are we warriors? If that's our model, are we warriors? Are we going to stand up and be counted? Are we going to stand up and say, no, enough, no more? No matter what the media says, no matter how violent the left gets, are we going to stand up and say, no, this is the right thing to do? Are we going to really implement freedom at the local level, at the state level? Are we going to have that rebirth of freedom? And we're going to be talking about some local level issues today on Patriot Radio. I'm going to try to go through a bunch of different things that are happening here in Olympia as well, keep you as up to date as I possibly can on everything from guns to water. A lot of you worried about this issue, and rightfully so, about being able to drill a well on the property that you bought. But it has a lot more far-reaching implications than just that. So I'm going to get to that here in a few minutes. But first, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. I want to keep this in the forefront. The United States has begun to talk about moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Now, that has kind of gotten lost in all of the other things that have been going on with the Trump administration here over the last couple of weeks. But it's still happening. And I think this is an important point, because Iran very clearly knows that it no longer has friends in the administration. Iran knows that the jig is up. And, you know, we've been putting this off since 1979. But ultimately, I think that the Iranians are going to try to provoke something with the United States. Ultimately, I think that's where this is going to go. Now, this is in addition to everything else happening around the world with China and with Russia. China making some fairly overt threats to the United States, but then just coming in right before we got on the air here, the Chinese military had planes that had a close shave with U.S. planes over the South Sea. So, I mean, again, very tense in that region of the world as well. But I really appreciate Trump's perspective on this when he said, we respect the right of every country to put themselves first as a country, as a nation. And the interventionism of the past, I think, has not ended well in many, many, many areas of the world. And I was watching some testimony yesterday about 154 military installations throughout the world. And I mean, and the question that they were discussing is how can we possibly maintain all of those? And the answer is probably they can't. Or do you really want to? I mean, it's one thing not to have all your eggs in one basket. It's another to be so spread out that you can't really be effective. So I think that the leaders, at least in the U.S. Army and the Air Force and the Navy and the Marine Corps, are recognizing that. And that was part of the discussion, at least I was watching last night on C-SPAN. But that brings us to something else on the international front. Okay? We have talked quite a bit about this so-called global warming hoax, conclusively disproven. It continues to be. Now, we heard testimony in Olympia here a couple weeks ago that the science was as settled as smoking causing lung cancer, and or tobacco causing lung cancer. And I was kind of stunned by that, because no true scientist is ever going to make some sort of claim like that, but let alone on global warming. And about 6 years ago, I unearthed, through the help of some people, and was sent a copy of this document put out by our Department of Ecology here in Washington called Ecological Economics. And in that document, I believe on like page 8 or something like that, it said that their purpose with ecological economics, their stated goal, was the fair distribution of wealth. So read redistribution of wealth. And then it just came out over the weekend. United Nations official Cristiana Figueres at a news conference in Brussels says the following. Okay, now this isn't out of context, okay? But listen to this. They have a goal, not of environmentalists, is not to save the world from ecological calamity, but to destroy capitalism, okay? Quote, this is the first time in the history of mankind that we're setting ourselves the task intentionally within a defined period of time to change the economic development model that has been reigning for at least 150 years since the Industrial Revolution. She went on to state, and this, so this is not a mistake, she went on to say, to reemphasize, this is probably the most difficult task we have given ourselves, which is to intentionally transform the economic development model for the first time in human history. Now, what is that economic development model? It's capitalism. And this is a fundamental misunderstanding of economics. All systems, all economic systems are truly capitalist. The question that defines the difference between all economic systems is who owns and who controls the capital. Now, capital needs to be defined as the means of production, the means to produce something, to take something out of the ground, air, the water, and turn it into something else, okay? That idea of who owns or controls a capital, in a free market system, the capital is owned and controlled privately. In a fascist system, in a socialist system, in a communist system, in a national socialist system, either the ownership is by the state or the control over that capital is by the state, or both in the case of communism, which is kind of most the most honest about it. The state just owns and controls the capital. So when they're talking about flipping this development model, then you have to ask this question, okay? If it's owned by the state, or it's controlled by the state, who is it really owned or controlled by? And the answer is going to be bureaucrats. That's the way it always works in these types of systems. Unelected bureaucrats, this self-appointed nobility, is who owns and controls the capital. So when this is said by a UN official, it should and is startling. But I think it begs the question, why are we allowing the United Nations to remain in the United States of America? If this is their stated goal, to destroy the free market of the United States of America, and the rest of the world for that matter, but the United States of America, if their stated goal is to impose slavery, which is what those systems are, when you own and control the capital, then you begin to own and control people. If that is what their stated goal is, and this is their own words, this isn't mine, their own words, if that's their stated goal, why are we keeping them in the United States? Now, some people are still arguing, this brings us to the next thing on the international front, they're still arguing that somehow the global warming thing is settled science, and it's just going to lead to this change in the economic model, to change away from the free market to something else, because it has to. We have to do that to save the world, right? And that this the people that are denying that this is true are really putting the whole human race in jeopardy. In fact, a bunch of those same people met with Donald Trump actually this week to pitch a carbon tax. Now, here in Washington State, you have people still trying to pitch a carbon tax. This is a cap and trade system. We've been talking about this on the show for 8 years. A cap and trade system. And these members of the business community, and yes, you heard that right, that went to Trump. There's also members of the business community here that are trying to pitch this carbon tax because they're afraid there's going to be another carbon tax initiative. Now, the last one was defeated overwhelmingly by the voters at the polls. But they want this new thing as a compromise to prevent something at the ballot box. Now, I got to ask you a question, okay? There's two parts to this. Do you think that the money they have allocated for that cap and trade fight is not going to be used to further their agenda in a different way if you compromise on that issue? They're not going to stop, folks. That money, if we make them fight and they have to spend that money and crawl forward inch by inch as we fight back their tyrannical schemes, they have to spend the money there. They can't spend it elsewhere. And it's not like they're not going to use it again down the road for the next step in their agenda. These people have strategies just like we do. They have a list of strategic goals just like we do, and they're going to move to their next strategic goal and spend the money on that. And then if we compromise, then they'll spend the money on the next one. And people think that they're going to stop. They're not going to stop. And this is all based, these decisions are based really on fear. We need to fight. And specifically, this is on the International Wire. World leaders were duped into investing billions of dollars. And guess where that money goes, by the way? It goes to consultants who typically give money to the left, okay? So these big firms that are environmental firms, they typically give money to the left. So it's not like the money is going away from them politically. But here's the headline. How world leaders were duped into investing billions, with a B, over manipulated global warming data, okay? Now, John J. Bates, a whistleblower, he's a data science, climate, and satellites consultant, blew the whistle on what is truly manipulated data. And he had the actual data, so he's got the smoking gun to show that America's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration breached its own rules on scientific integrity when it published sensational but flawed reports. Okay? So you got a whistleblower now saying that the data that they're, you know, saying is conclusive to the point of being like tobacco and smoking causes lung cancer was manipulated and is inaccurate and flawed. Now, I don't hear the mainstream media talking about that. Now, this isn't like this is a, you know, some right-wing paper, as it were. I mean, this is a UK paper that broke this. But the report claimed that the pause or slowdown in global warming since 1998 never existed. Now, I heard this in testimony here in Olympia. They said the same thing, that this pause never existed, when in fact the data actually shows it does. And that it was based on that their report, which I think is term, it should be termed fake news, was based on misleading and unverified data. So understand the point out of this and bringing it back around to what this UN official said. They will do anything at any cost to destroy capitalism, to destroy the free market, to destroy the Constitution of the United States. That is what this means. They will do anything. They will lie. They will cheat. They will mislead to reduce us under absolute despotism. So if that's the case, there is no compromise that you can make with these people. There is none. You got to fight. You got to fight for what you believe in. And that's just, that has to be the conclusion from reading this stuff. If you love this country, if you love the Constitution. Which brings us now to the national front. So immigration policy. Now this just happened. This is breaking news. It just came out literally right before went on the air here. Appeals Court, Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and this isn't really a surprise, keeps the doors open and rules against Trump on his immigration ban order. Now, this is despite the fact that other presidents have done this. It's despite the fact the Constitution allows this. Despite the fact that the statute is very clear in the grant of authority on this. There is no mistaking it. And it is also despite the fact that I don't believe an attorney general has standing to bring a suit like this. And they haven't even ruled on that. You know, this issue of standing, of have you actually suffered harm? Unbelievable. Now Drudge Report is saying, too, that Assad has come out and said some of these refugees are indeed terrorists. So now you have the leader of a country right in the middle of this, Syria, saying, yeah, some of the refugees are terrorists. So Trump is vindicated by the Syrian president, but not by the courts. And he excoriated the courts. And I got to tell you something, he was right in doing it. We have got to rein in. The judicial branch was supposed to be the weakest branch of government. All the founding fathers agreed on this. You can read the primary source documents. Don't take my word for it. Thomas Jefferson talked about this quite a bit. Supposed to be the weakest branch. And yet what we're seeing is these black-robed philosopher kings trying to overturn common sense, common law, and really turn this country into a lawless society. Because you don't know what's going to happen when it goes to court. There's no predictability. Truth doesn't change. And there's some things that laws and the Constitution were written to enshrine some of those truths, and now we have these judges just throwing it out on its ear. So I want to highlight one other thing. I brought this up on the show on Tuesday, and that is, you want to talk about immigration policy. And I have seen some of the worst rhetoric of my life and of my time here in Olympia. That, you know, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. This is racist. This is abominable. That he would possibly ban immigrants coming in here from those seven countries. That they wouldn't vet them. You know, and the Democrats are really being self-righteous about this. And let me just say the left is being self-righteous about this. And yet, with their history, I want you to, everybody, your homework assignment tonight is to go look up Operation Keel Hall. K-E-E-L-H-A-U-L, Keel Hall. Operation Keel Hall. That was the forced repatriation by Franklin Roosevelt of refugees after World War II, putting them back into what became the Soviet Union, where millions, some argue, I think it's historically accurate to say at least tens of thousands, died as a result of that forced repatriation. So let's talk about the history of immigration of the left in the modern era. If they're going to come out and say these kind of things, these horrible things, and all Trump is trying to do is to make sure everybody is thoroughly vetted equally. Now, I have family that has come from Ukraine, and we're thoroughly vetted. I mean, a very thorough process. In fact, I had my nephew kind of journal it for me, just tell me what happened. And what he explained to me, there is no way that's happening with these folks coming from some of these countries in the Middle East. It's just not. So treat everybody equally, thorough vetting. That's all Trump's trying to do. And yet, they're making him and demonizing him, making him into this horrific human being for doing this, protecting the country. And I think all of us know better. So I'm going to move next on the national front down to a couple things that are happening. Donald Trump coming out today, too, and saying that tax cuts are going to be here in the next 2 to 3 weeks that he's going to be putting on the table. I want to highlight also the fact that Sessions was finally confirmed, and most of Trump's cabinet has been confirmed. That means they're going to move now on to the lower levels. We're talking the undersecretaries. Now, these are the people that are important because they're going to be the ones that are going to be unwinding a lot of this stuff, unwinding these rules and regulations that have been strangling America, most of which I believe are unconstitutional. But I want you to keep your eyes on these lower levels. That's the next phase of this whole process. Also want to highlight the fact that, you know, when we talk about some of these rules and regulations that are being unwound, there are going to be disagreements. So one of the places I disagree with Donald Trump is on the issue of civil asset forfeiture. He seemed to be favorable to civil asset forfeiture. Civil asset forfeiture is the process by which a person is not convicted of a crime, but their property is seized. And literally the court paperwork will read United States or State of Washington versus $232.55. And then the property will be seized without due process. It is a horrific practice. Some police departments sheriff departments are basing their budget on the seizure of property in this manner. And so this is one area, if Trump is in favor of this, I would disagree with him. We need to get rid of civil asset forfeiture. We need to return to due process. So that brings me now to the next thing on the national front, and that is the surveillance state. So this company, Draper Laboratories, has come out with a cyborg dragonfly. You can Google it for yourself. I remember a couple years ago, somebody said, oh, this can't be true. You just read popular science, for goodness sakes. They are so far ahead of what we can understand right now. But they have a cyborg dragonfly. Literally, they did a genetic modification in the dragonfly. It's got a little backpack on it, and it can spy on you, which is creepy, okay? But that what that tells and should tells me, at least, it should tell you, is that the miniaturization of the ability to spy on Americans, we need to deal with that now. And we also need to deal with the ethical implications of they're going to do a cyborg dragonfly. They're going to do cyborg human beings. They're going to start replacing human beings with mechanical parts, et cetera, and we're going to start literally, literally discussing the Borg, as it were, from Star Trek. I mean, we are, and folks, I'm not talking about, you know, this is 20 years away. Folks, this is less than 10 years away. Flying cars, drones delivering to you is 2 years away. They just tested a flying passenger car drone in Israel in November. They just tested in here, in the United States, the automated air traffic control system, which will help direct all these drones. Now, a lot of this stuff begs the question also, what happens if the power goes out, which is probably a topic for a different day. But keep this in your mind. In the future, will the Constitution still mean what it says? And I think it should. I think it should. Which also brings us to the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs. Now, this is the management. Now, there's another organization called WACOPS, and they are kind of more the rank and file. Now, WACOPS has always been rock solid on gun rights and everything else, been really good. WASPIC, Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs, has not been. They've advocated for gun control. And today they advocated to kill the drone bill that we've been working on for 4 years to prevent the use of drones for regulatory enforcement. Now, folks, what I'm telling you right now is WASPIC is lobbying down here in Olympia against rural Washington. They are lobbying against your business. They are lobbying against anybody that loves freedom, anybody that has an agricultural interest or family members that do. They're lobbying against you because they want to use these drones, the state of Washington does, to map our ranches and our farms, fly over our business, so that they can see what regulations you violated and then fine you. It's kind of like a roving traffic camera. I mean, does that not startle you? Startles me. And WASPIC killed that drone bill today, or tried to, in public safety. Unbelievable. And I got to tell you something. I think this is an integrity issue. I think it's an integrity issue. You know, either you are for freedom or you're not. Now, there are law enforcement officers that support this drone bill. There's members of the legislature who are law enforcement that support this drone bill. So this isn't like it's some way out there piece of legislation. But the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs, which is a statutorily created entity, is becoming a problem because they're now lobbying against the rights that are enshrined in the Constitution of the state of Washington, the U.S. Constitution. And I want to highlight that to you because some of you may not have ever heard of that organization. And so we're going to have some action items as far as lobbying them as we the people shortly. Also on the regional front. Very interesting here in Olympia with the gun issue. Everybody's asking me this assault weapons ban, this assault weapons licensing scheme, which would have you literally get a license for so-called assault weapons and list all your so-called assault weapons and all your so-called high-capacity magazines, creating, therefore, a registry. Is that going to go anywhere? People have been asking me. Right now, they do not have the votes to pass that legislation, okay? They don't. But we need to stay vigilant. We don't need to take anything for granted, because the Attorney General of Washington has been literally one of the most partisan activist attorney generals in the history of the state of Washington. And the reason he's doing all this is because he wants to run for governor after Inslee's term is up. So that's why he's doing this, make a name for himself. But we need to stay vigilant and keep killing these horrible anti-gun bills. And so far, so good. Also want to highlight the issue of Hearst. That's the water rights issue, where the Hearst decision by the Washington State Supreme Court essentially put a moratorium on building in Washington State. Most of you in Spokane County have already run into this and just been horrified by the fact you cannot drill a well. And we had a hearing on several of the Hearst fix bills the other day, including a bill, House Bill 1382, which would create a presumption of non-impairment for permit-exempt wells. It's a fancy way of saying a permit-exempt well is a well that uses less than 5,000 gallons a day. And that well, because it's permit-exempt, because it has minimal impact on a watershed, in the overall scheme of a watershed, that because of that, there should be a presumption that it's not impairing any surface flow. So you're pulling water out of the ground, it shouldn't be impairing the flow over the surface. I mean, it makes sense if you think about it logically, but there are people out there that try to make the science seem to think, or science seem to conclude, that the water you pull out of the ground is impacting the surface flow over the top. And it's just not true. Scientifically, it's not true. And there's only a few places in Washington where that is true, where an aquifer runs into a river runs into an aquifer, and there is that match. But even in the area where that is the case, like Spokane County, we have more than enough water. So understand, if you can control the water, you can control the people. And that's why Hearst is such a big deal. Hearst was about water availability and water quality. And our bills are fixing the availability side and creating a presumption. So that presumption would lift the moratorium immediately on building, but it would still leave in place the ability for senior water right holders to challenge if their water rights were truly being impaired, which is, I think, what everybody believes. So Hearst fixes are on the table right now, and again, they were heard the other day, and we're continuing to try to fix this as best we can and get something out this session. And a lot of people don't understand that with the Hearst decision, it lowered dramatically by the tens of millions of dollars property values in eastern Washington and rural Washington. And as a result, that's going to cut tax revenue to public safety and to education. And when that was brought up to the Democrats, they were a little surprised by that. They didn't think that that would happen, but that's what's happening. Last thing that I'll mention going on here in Olympia, we're trying to get some vaccine reform things through, informed consent on the use of vaccines. Had an opportunity today to offer an amendment in the Judiciary Committee on a bill that was existing to require that doctors go through the little insert in the vaccine package with the patient and also review the patient's health history in regards to the administration of a vaccine. And the Democrats voted this down. So they did not want informed consent in regards to vaccines as part of this bill. We're going to continue to fight on that. We're going to drop a couple bills here, I think either tomorrow or Monday, and I'm trying to get as many signatures as we can on there. But it's just a matter, again, of freedom. It really is. And that's it for the regional front. I want to go to the local front right now very quickly, and then we'll bring our guest on. We've been seeing fake news thrown around, but I want to give you a couple specific instances of fake news here recently. Socialist Review did an article that said, quote, you know, Matt Shea made a rare public appearance in district, end quote, when we were doing a town hall here a couple weekends ago. And so we went back, looked through the calendar over the last 5 years, and lo and behold, there have been hundreds of public appearances in the 4th Legislative District, everything from little church groups to bigger groups to full-on political rallies with hundreds of people at them, I mean, to town halls, okay? So really that classifies, I think, as fake news by the Socialist Review. They should know better than to print something like that. But of course, we all know what their real agenda is. Then they did this. So I got, by the grace of God, I was promoted to the caucus chair position in the House Republican caucus, which is the number three Republican in the House Republican caucus here in Washington State. And the Socialist Review reports that as me being promoted to caucus leader. So again, totally wildly inaccurate and super easy to fact check. You can just go on the website. It's right there. And, you know, they want us to take them seriously. I just can't. And so people ask me, why don't you ever interview? That this is why. They're so wildly, wildly inaccurate. And you just, their credibility is in the toilet, very candidly. So that's it for the local front, and that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for me and for Victoria. I really appreciate that, and we can feel your prayers over here in Olympia. And remember also, if you get a chance, just go to the Patriot Radio U.S. Facebook page, Patriot Radio U.S. Just like the page. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. Let them know about it. We post a lot of stuff up there. Get them informed. Get them involved. And that is how we're going to implement freedom here in America. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce my special guest today, Ed Pace, Spokane Valley City Councilman, somebody who's kind of been on the forefront of implementing freedom locally. Ed, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing, my friend?
You're welcome, Matt. I'm doing great. How are you?
You know, better than I deserve. I got to tell you something. It's a whirlwind over here right now. It really is. My goodness. Well, so what's going on at the local level? There's been so much news about the city of Spokane Valley, and I want to highlight this. Ed, you don't have to respond to this part, but there's this local leftist group called, I think it's Spokane Indivisible, and then they're part of the Peace Justice Action League of Spokane, which, you know, or is associated with them anyway. Now, these are the Peace Justice Action League, to remind the listeners, that's the organization that has ties to the Communist Party, USA literal ties. Okay, they invited one of their leaders to be a speaker, and then also ties to the Muslim Brotherhood through the Council of American Islamic Relations, because in the Holy Land Foundation trial, Kerr was found to be an unindicted co-conspirator and a member of the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood, as a matter of fact, in law. So just with that caveat, they're kind of starting to come out to Spokane Valley from downtown Spokane to try to spread the leftist message. What have you seen, Ed? I mean, how are you responding to that? What's your take?
Oh, I haven't seen anything yet. There was an article in the Valley Voice portion of the Spokesman Review today, and they quoted me a couple times. And my take on it is, bring it on. you know, there are folks, there's a minority of folks that includes progressives and establishment Republicans that are spreading rumors, mistrust, and even lies about what's going on in the city of Spokane Valley, especially the city council. And I call them the clique of bitterness. And in part, these are progressives, liberals, who don't feel they have a voice because there just aren't very many of them, and they don't come out. They don't show up. Others are former city council members, former mayors, who think that they have some kind of divine right to be the rulers of the city of Spokane Valley, and there are others. So that's a clique of bitterness. So I encourage this group to organize, to hold meetings, to come up with a legislative agenda, to show up at council meetings on the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month where they can make public comments about anything that's not an action item. Make yourself known. Come out in public. But beware. Don't be telling lies, because we'll challenge you on it. We'll call you out on it. We'll look into it. And these ties that you mentioned with a couple of different organizations, we'll expose it. And we'll ask for public debate. We'll expose all their ties and expose their agenda. So that's my take on it. And I don't think they are even close to having a significant minority even in the city of Spokane Valley.
Well, you know, and I've said this in the past, you guys have been doing a terrific job of managing the city of Spokane Valley in a fiscally conservative way and providing the services that you're supposed to be providing as a city, not outside right. the bounds, not all the extravagant extras, but what we're supposed to be providing.
Right.
What do you see in the future for the city of Spokane Valley as kind of the hot button issues? And if you could talk about some of your successes, because, you know, the Socialist Review tries to drown out any talk of success right. in Spokane Valley. Right. right. So if you could.
Well, one thing that some of us are personally interested in attacking is rumors spread by that group or the folks that might join that group you mentioned. Rumors of secret meetings, rumors of some kind of hidden agenda that we're not sharing with people. And folks need to understand that that's a lie. Both of those are lies. We do have some private meetings that are authorized by law. First of all, up to three city council members can meet anytime in a private session, a private meeting. We don't have to report it. We don't have to announce it. And that's where three of us might get together and brainstorm about an idea or a project or something we want to work on, something that's not even on the agenda yet that just came up. Or maybe we got an idea from a citizen or a request from a citizen, and we just want to flesh it out and brainstorm about it a little bit. The other kind of private meeting that we can have is with the entire city council. We can have executive sessions for a couple of specific situations, like purchasing property, evaluating the city manager's performance, and talking about potential litigation. So those are private meetings that are allowed, so they wouldn't be called secret meetings. Our agenda is simple. It's this. It's published. It's on the city's business plan. It's on meeting minutes. So, you know, our priorities, of course, are public safety. That's number one. And that takes up two-thirds of our budget. Second is pavement preservation. That is making sure we have good streets with no potholes and or minimal potholes, and that we make repairs as quickly as possible, and that we have a plan in place, an engineered scientific plan in place to keep our roads in the best condition that we can, because pavement deteriorates, especially with heavy vehicles running on it, with weather changes. It'll be hot, it'll be cold, it'll be wet, it'll be dry. That deteriorates the pavement, and we need a process for maintaining that. So that's number two. Number three is infrastructure development to improve the quality of life in the city of Spokane Valley. That would include things like parks and so on, trails. And the other thing is infrastructure development that enables new businesses, job-producing businesses. So that's number three. And then number four is economic development. And the way we want to fund all this is by growing the economy so the tax base will increase so that we don't have to raise tax rates. That's what we're doing. And some of the specific things we're working on to do that, we are lobbying on y'all's behalf for water rights, for the you mentioned about the Hearst decision. We discuss things like that at council meetings. We draft letters. Sometimes we pass resolutions so that we can show the rest of the state legislature that we have our fourth district legislators' backs, and we're with you. We're behind you. We are also lobbying with state and federal legislators and civil servants for financial assistance so we can do the Barker Road and Pines Road grade separation projects, which will enhance economic development, enhance quality of life by easing up the traffic situation around Pines and Barker. We're working on a strategic plan for financing and completing those projects. We're continuing to expand economic development efforts We're working on a sustainability plan for the street preservation, and my goal is no new taxes. I made that commitment. I made it to you, Matt. I made that commitment to you and to the all the citizens of Spokane Valley when I ran 4 years ago and won the election, won my seat on the city council. No new taxes. Also, we want to improve public safety. I personally want to get some things going, some projects going to take a huge bite out of property crimes. And then there's a few park projects and trail projects that we want to complete. Also, I have a personal interest in working with you, Senator Patton, and Representative McCaslin, and the other local conservative legislators, senators, and representatives, on getting behind you guys on gun rights. One of our council members, Caleb Collier, is sponsoring a resolution that we have on standby until we need it that says we are a gun rights city. And, you know, we don't like the Attorney General's gun agenda, gun control agenda. Also, we want to get behind the legislature on right-to-work legislation. I personally believe, I feel strongly that the contract between an employee or a potential employee and an employer is between just the employer and the employee. The government should not intervene. Organizations like unions should not intervene. And then finally, you mentioned the vaccine issue, Matt. A couple of us had a meeting with a mom of 8 kids last night. And she is an advocate for parental authority and parental responsibility, which I totally support. You know, it doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes parents. And this mom is a perfect example. She does not want her kids to be vaccinated. And I'm going to support legislation. I'm going to sponsor resolutions. I am going to take it upon myself with 2 other council members to lobby with the health district and the school districts to advocate for the rights of these parents so the parents can choose whether or not they're children are vaccinated.
Well, I think so it just makes sense. It just makes sense from a freedom perspective. I mean, there's a right of privacy, Article 1, Section 7 of the Washington State Constitution.
Does, yeah. And I'm not going to deal with the science part of it. I'm just approaching it from the parental rights and privacy and freedom aspect of it.
Absolutely. And I mentioned informed consent, and that's always got to be. I mean, it's part of...
Yes.
Who we are as Americans, just have all the facts on the table so you can make a great decision. That's
right,
it.
Exactly.
It.
Yeah.
And no commentary, No, go ahead.
We want to continue being and continue to grow as the capital of free Washington, or maybe the capital of the 51st state. Who knows?
Who knows? We'll get to that here in a second, but I want to go back to some of the infrastructure projects. Now, Ed, we've talked about the grade separation at Pines Road, the grade separation at Barker Road, and trying to get state funding. Obviously, you know, the city of Spokane Valley wants to do its part, but, you know, getting some state funding there, because those at-grade rail crossings are very dangerous. There's a lot of train traffic going through there, oil trains going through there. What's your take on that, and kind of what do you see as a future of those types of infrastructure projects?
Well,
they're great,
and they provide several huge benefits for the city. You mentioned safety; that's one. So if there's bridges over or underpasses under railroad tracks, there's no more of a car sliding on an icy street and hitting a train or getting hit by a train. So there's safety. Noise. People that live in certain areas just can't stand the noise of train horns. And so if we have these grade separations done, there's no need for the trains to blow their horns. And then economic development. If people no longer have to wait in long lines for to cross a railroad track that's at the same level as the street. Trucks that supply and ship goods from our industrial areas or in all of our businesses can move more smoothly through our city. That improves economic development and then again quality of life, because you know, here's again is a safety thing. If an ambulance or a fire truck or a police car responding to an emergency has to wait for a train, that could cost lives. When people have to wait for a train, everybody's got a busy schedule. You can't afford to spend a half hour waiting at a train crossing. So there's several good reasons for doing those. And as we've talked about, Pines and Barker are on top of the list. Those are the ones we want to get done first. There's still some discussion about what's the order. Do we do Barker first and then Pines, or we do Pines first and then Barker? And, you know, I'd like to hear from people. My number is 509-570-4394. That's my cell number. I'd like to hear from people on which ones are most important. But then Park is also on the list, and then widening the bridge over the railroad tracks at Sullivan is on the list.
So let's talk a little bit about the industrial park, largest industrial park between Seattle and Minneapolis. With the Trump administration, manufacturing is indeed returning to the United States of America.
Yes.
We should be ready for that, right?
We should be, and we have, there exists 500 undeveloped acres right next to the current industrial park. And we're working with the county to get sewer to it. We're working on improving the roads that go to it. But again, those bridging projects, especially the one at Barker, will affect that and will enable it to be developed. One of the things that our community and economic development folks, the city staff, have going is a site certification program. So they want to get a lot of the groundwork done for to enable a business to select a site and to get the necessary permitting and such done as quickly as possible. So we're doing all those things to help stimulate economic growth on those 500 acres.
Got to do that. We just have to be ready.
Right.
You know, it makes sense to be prepared ahead of time.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Does.
It really does. Well, Let's talk about the 51st state. Now, I want to caveat this by saying, people have said, are you really serious about the 50? Of course. I don't introduce things I'm not serious about. And sometimes a harsh piece of legislation brings about the harsh reality and conversation that's needed that many of us in rural Washington, not just eastern Washington, but rural Washington, are sick and tired of Seattle dictating and jamming stuff down our throats, including tax policy and regulations and everything else.
Right.
We're sick of it. We don't share those values. We don't share that culture. We want a free market. We want to have a constitutional government and approach to things. We want to
Absolutely.
Have a godly government, too.
Right, right. You know, I was talking to a business owner and operator just yesterday, the day before, and he has a business on Sprague in the area of Costco. Been in business for 27 years. Good guy, just wants to work and earn a living and provide great service to his customers. He's got many, many loyal customers in the area. And one of the things that gets in the way are the state business regulations. He doesn't have a problem with City of Spokane Valley, but it's the state regulation. So the B&O tax hits him hard. His property owner, the owner that he leases the property from, separates out property tax from the rent, and so he has to pay both. He pays his rent plus he pays the property tax, and of course, you know, the state taxes are a big chunk, and then there's the personal property tax that he pays on accessories that he needs to run his store. So, like, if he buys a new display case shelving for putting his products on, he has to pay an extra tax, the personal property tax on it. Even if he already has it or somebody gives it to him free and he brings it in, installs it in his store, he owes the state some more tax. And so one of the things that I'm interested in pursuing with the 51st state idea is to just use it as a lobbying tool to show how it's possible to develop a state government that's a constitutional government and a state government that is run, that lives within its means and doesn't tax businesses to death and doesn't regulate them to death. That's why this is important to me.
Well, you know, it's one thing, you know, to have this out here and have it a discussion piece. And it's another thing for some of the media to try to say, oh, this is a stupid idea. You guys are a bunch of hicks in Easter Washington. It was funny because I called the Crosscut author of an article out on that. I said, you can call us hicks and welfare freeloaders. Just let us go then. Oh, I didn't call it. It wasn't addressing my point. It was, oh, I didn't say that. And then I quoted it, you know, verbatim.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have any, right. There's no response to that garbage. There really isn't, right? My question for you, Ed, I mean, we have, there's so much popularity behind this. You know, KXOY does this poll, 8,000 people weigh in, 73% in support. And I know there were people that weighed in against that were from Seattle, which is kind of funny to me. You know, why should people take something like this seriously? And you know, some people say, well, this is a waste of time. Now, you brought up the part about, you know, this is a great point for discussion. But, I mean, why else should people take this seriously?
Well, yeah, they should take it seriously because and I'm going to do something right now that people don't like us doing, and that is I'm going to quote from the state constitution. And I've got the edition that's got both the state and federal constitutions in it. It's from the Freedom Foundation, and it's got a statement from you at the front of it, which is good. And I just want to remind folks something that we need to be reminded of from time to time. And some people get mad when a couple of us bring up the Constitution from the dais at city council meetings. But, you know, the Constitution starts out with we the people. And that's both the U.S. and the state constitution. That means everybody, all people. It's not we the lawyers. It's not we the judges. It's not we the scholars. It's not we the government. It's we the people. And so we all need to care about this. And then in Article 1, Section 1 of the Washington State Constitution, it addresses political power, and it says all political power is inherent in the people. And governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed and are established to protect and maintain individual rights. That's what it's all about. We the people, all of us, need to care about developing a government that is constitutional, that focuses on protecting rights, and that relates to taxes, because one of our rights is if you go to work and earn some money, that's yours. That's your property. Nobody should have a claim on it other than what we voluntarily give up for roads and police and that sort of thing. But nobody else should have a claim on it. And that's something that we, the people, can make happen with the 51st state. That's why we should all care about it. And take
Ed, I completely agree with you. You know, our voice, you know, government is instituted and should reflect the voice of the people. And the bottom line is the voice of the people here in rural Washington and eastern Washington is being drowned out. It just is.
Right.
So you're absolutely right. Well, we've only got a minute left. So if you could, really quick, how can people get a hold of you again or find out more about you or follow what's going on the Spokane Valley City Council?
Right. I'm on Facebook, Councilman Ed Pace. I'm on Twitter, Councilman Pace. My cell phone number is 570-4394, and I love to hear from people. And so I would just welcome calls and contacts on Facebook, and I always get back to them. I always answer people, and I listen to what they have to say, and we discuss things. So that's how to, another way to get government close to the people.
Well, Ed, how could people pray for you real quick, too?
They can pray that that we use logic, that we're rational, that everybody involved gets and becomes a part of the conversation in a rational way. They can pray that Christians especially do their part in recognizing that everything we have, the earth we live on, our lives, our property, comes from God. And we have these God-given natural rights that start at the instant of conception and go to natural death. And so all the Christians should be praying that that basic fundamental law or basis for our laws gets implemented at all levels of government. That's what they should pray for.
Amen. Ed Pace, thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Keep up the great work, my friend. We'll have you on again, okay?
Thank you, Matt. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Councilman Ed Pace, City of Spokane Valley, the capital of Free Washington, it is known colloquially, and just doing a great job out there. And take him up on that. I mean, he really means it. Send him a note and let him know he's doing a good job, too. Too often people are sending in complaints or, you know, we need to fix this. Every once in a while, it's really nice for folks to send in something that says, hey, you know, or receive something that says, hey, you're doing a good job. Keep it up, you know. And we can encourage each other amongst the body of Christian believers in that manner. Well, this is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Remember to do everything you can to defend freedom locally. And if you need questions answered, go to Patriot Radio Facebook page. Go to Freedom Agenda Washington. You can also contact me at the House Republican website, Matt Shea, as well. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.